Good morning. Did not expect a big snow this morning, but oh well. It is very important that we surround ourselves with godly friends. Because what happens when we surround ourselves with worldly friends? We see someone who will be tempted and most likely will give in to what their friends are doing. There will not be any encouragement to continue faithfully in Christ. There will be no lifting up. There will be no going to God's word. That's what worldly friends bring about. But godly friends, on the other hand, will help encourage you to remain strong in your walk with Christ. Godly friends will help you and lift you up in moments of weakness. Godly friends will be there with you through your storms and trials. It is so important, especially for the young men and young women, that we surround ourselves with godly friends, because it is a matter of life or death, literally. We must understand that if we surround ourselves with worldly friends, they will only bring us down. Now, yes, granted, we are to go and preach and teach, and maybe your worldly friends, you're the only one who can help bring them to Christ. Absolutely. But there does come a time when you must decide, is there no hope? Is there no chance of them turning from their ways? And then you must decide whether you're going to leave or keep trying. I surrounded myself in my younger days with worldly friends, who no longer are my friends, because I matured to a point where I don't need this. I don't need this sinful influence around me. I don't need these people who are really just my friends for their own benefit. But godly friends would never do that. Because when we look at the main text in Mark chapter 2, yes, the central focus here is Christ and what he's doing. But really, when we look at this paralytic man that is about to receive a big blessing, and really two big blessings, as we'll see. Verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. I want to focus on the paralytic and those four men. What friends they were. Because they brought this paralytic man. They knew who Christ was. They knew what he could do. And they came and they couldn't get to the door. They couldn't get where Christ was. The crowd was massive. And so they could have at that point said, man, we'll bring you back tomorrow. We'll go find where Christ will be next time and take you to him. They looked and they said, let's go on the roof. Let's put him through the roof. That's the only way we can do it. So they carried this man up on the roof. They put a hole through the roof. Can you imagine the homeowners? Wouldn't you be a little upset? They lowered him down to Christ. These four men are what type of friends we need. We need faithful friends who will get us to Christ and will help us stay in Christ. Talking about the new man throughout this series, the newness, we must understand the new man gets rid of all things that are bad and all people who are bad, out of their lives. Christ teaches, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Cut out all things and all people who influence you to do what is wrong. It is so important. These four men brought their friend to Christ that day. A man who was a paralytic, who could not walk. When we look at Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friends." When you surround yourself with godly friends, it's like iron sharpens iron. They're going to make sure that you are living right. They're going to rebuke you at times. You know, back years ago, I thought it as rebuking as something mean. But really, what it is, it's out of love. When I've had plenty of godly friends rebuke me, and I thank God for them every day because they were looking out for me. They wanted my soul to remain right with God. They were not going to allow me to slip into a sinful life. That's a godly friend. I have godly friends that I go to from time to time, asking them about Scripture, getting their opinion or their belief on Scripture. I ask them questions. I went to a good friend to talk about my problems, what I'm dealing with. And guess what? He sits there. He listens. He understands. It's good to have godly friends to lean on in times of trouble, in times of your weakness. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, this is what should be the characteristics of the church of Christians, godly friends. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. I had a friend that I would stay with. His family welcomed me in, and I stayed with him. Their youngest son would give up his bedroom. And still now to this day, when my wife and I visit, he's like, "Hey, you know, my room's available if you guys want to stay." That's good hospitality. I even house sit for him last year. But once again, we see that godly friends, they love without hypocrisy. They abhor what is evil. They don't want nothing to do with sin, and they will keep you and try to be your partner and keep you from sin, to keep you from evil. But worldly friends are the complete opposite. Worldly friends, they love to do evil, as we'll get to in Proverbs 1 here in just a few minutes. They love evil. They love sin. They love living that worldly life, and they're only going to influence you to do so. But we are not to give in to such. They don't show hospitality. They definitely don't, they are not fervent in spirit. They definitely don't serve the Lord. Why would you want friends like that? Why would you want friends who want nothing to do with the Lord, to do what is right? That's the question we need to answer. Because I see so many brothers and sisters having tons of friends on the outside, and I understand trying to influence them, but they spend way too much time. Christ, when we look at him spending time with tax collectors, with sinners, yes, he spent time with them. Yes, he spoke to them and taught them, but he didn't spend every waking moment with them. He was always surrounded by men and women who believed who he was, who wanted to serve him. He surrounded himself with God-fearing people. Now, were they perfect? Absolutely not. None of you are perfect. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes, but that's where we can lean on one another. That's where we can encourage, build you up. Even in the midst of your storms and trials, lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lean on your godly friends. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray." This is the result of having worldly friends, of allowing that influence to influence you to do wrong. They will lead you astray, and I have seen it over and over again. I have seen it. And it's a sad thing that we see something like this happen. In Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15, from David, his godly advice to his son Solomon. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all things of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. How important it is to surround yourself with godly friends, godly people who put God first in their life, who God is their entire purpose, their entire life. Those are the people you want to be around. Those are the people you want to surround yourself with. Now, we know Solomon, just like his father, would mess up. He's not perfect. We look at the apostles. They were not perfect. But anywhere they went, they stayed with who? Christians. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They surrounded themselves with Christian people, God-fearing people, God-fearing friends. We must understand how important this is. Don't surround yourself with worldly people. Because I don't care how strong you say you are. I have seen strong Christians in the faith be pulled astray. Understand how vital it is to have godly friends. Ones who will lead you to Christ and who will worship Christ with you. Who will live that life with you. Husbands, I've heard this, husbands, their best friends are their wives. Wives, best friends to their husbands. It all has the same, it ties in all the same. How important it is to have godly friends. And the greatest friend that we have is Christ. Christ who will never forsake us. Christ who's always there with us in moments of weakness. He is the greatest friend that one could ever have. A friend who laid down his life for us. Because when we look at this, the result of all this, back in our main text, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. His sins are forgiven him. That's way better than ever walking again. At this point, this paralytic man was now pure, was now clean. His sins were taken. His sins were forgiven. Verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. Here's the result of those four men carrying this paralytic and getting him to Christ. His sins are forgiven, and two, he was healed. He got up and he walked home. Those four men wouldn't have carried him to see Christ, wouldn't have broken through that roof to get him to Christ. None of this would have taken place. It is so important, brothers and sisters, that we have friends like this. Most importantly, that we have Christ in our life, who is the greatest friend of all. If you are here this morning and you're not a Christian, give your life to Christ this morning. Make that decision. It'll be the greatest decision, and Christ will be the greatest friend that you can ever have. And this is how you do it. First, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the word, John 3:16-17. Then you must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. You must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. Doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3:26-27. Doesn't stop there. Then you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And once you make that commitment and give your life to Christ, cut out the riffraff and surround yourself with godly friends who will help encourage you through your walk, through your journey with Christ. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your sins, there's still time today to make it right with God, to repent of your sins and to renew your relationship with Christ. You have friends among you, godly friends among you, who you can lean on, who you can talk to, who will be there for you. So if you are a Christian, you have fallen back in your ways, come to Christ this morning. Allow your godly family, your godly friends to assist you. If you need any assistance this morning, come as we stand and as we sing.